Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're in the Psalms today, so turn pretty much to the middle of the Bible, to the book of Psalms, and find Psalm 51. I will pray. We will read through these three Psalms and consider them. I might pause for devotional thoughts, give an application for myself at the end, and pray and ask you to do the same with me. Father, I come to your word. I'm so grateful for the Psalms and love how you allow David and the other psalmists to share their heart and their emotions. I can relate to that. And Father, pray that as we read through these Psalms today, you would secure my heart. Help me to see you and to know what you want me to do with these today so I can be closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 51 says, "For the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba." All right, so again, these are these were added later, these titles. These are not a part of the original inspired writings. And so in some cases, they are making guesses, sometimes very educated guesses, as to the context of what's going on. Now, in our scripture reading, we have not gotten to the part in 2 Samuel yet, but we will soon, where David commits adultery, and then a prophet comes to him. So this is in the context, and we'll see, you know, it's definitely in the context of David sinning. Verse 1, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge." Pause there for a moment to note that even though David had sinned by having Bathsheba's husband killed by putting him in the front of the battle lines and then committing adultery with Bathsheba. Well, committing adultery first, then having her husband killed. He recognizes that any sin is directly against God and only God. It is a good place to start for our sin. Although we know, yes, sins are against other people too, but this idea that we are sinning against God. Verse 5, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So it's obvious he is broken, he is humble, he's seeking forgiveness. Verse 11, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." It's interesting as he talks about this because Jesus had not yet come or died for his sins. The Holy Spirit was not indwelling people forever yet. And yet God had obviously used the Holy Spirit in his life. He did not want him taken away. He wanted this joy of God's salvation, which means deliverance, his deliverance. And to have the right kind of spirit in him. Verse 13, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you." So he's promising, "Turn my heart back to you and I will turn others to you as well. Deliver me," verse 14, "from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise." That's very important to note. As David says that is more important than the other kinds of sacrifices they would give. Verse 18, may it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. That's the end of Psalm 51. And it's a great psalm for confession of sin and understanding of the kind of spirit and heart attitude we need to have when we have recognized our sin. Verse 52, or Psalm 52. For the director of music, a Maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite had gone to Saul and told him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. All right, so this is going back to when David's enemies are looking to kill him, in specifically Saul, the king. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? You who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and pluck you up from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at you, saying, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people, and I will hope in your name, for your name is good. So David basically, calling out those who come after him, those who are deceitful and look for ruin. God, his prayer is, will ruin them. But he, if he lives for God, will flourish. Psalm 53, for the director of music, according to Mahalath, a Maskil of David. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. So the very beginning of the psalm, I think, I want to say Psalm 14, I'm not exactly sure, says kind of the same thing. A foolish person does not recognize God. Verse 2, God looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Everyone is turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. That sounds very familiar from Romans chapter 3. Do all evildoers, this verse 4, know nothing? They devour my bread as though eating bread. They devour my people as though eating bread. They never call on God. But there they are, overwhelmed with dread, where there was nothing to dread. God scattered the bones of those who attacked you. You put them to shame, for God despised them. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When God restores his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. So David is thinking about the corrupt, thinking about looking around and feeling like no one is honoring God. They're all fools. And he looks later at those who devour God's people. But then they are overwhelmed with dread. And they have fear inside of them. God has despised them. And he prays for the deliverance of Israel. So, what do we take away? What do I take away from Psalm 51 to 53? Short psalms, but definitely the first thing I look at is Psalm 51, confession of sin. It is so easy to just kind of keep going in our own sin, my own sin. I want to have this. Now, of course, it was a prophet had to come to David to get him to commit to confess this particular sin, but we know David had a right heart before God, in terms of the way God saw him. So any of us can fail in these ways, and we all need to have this kind of confession. I need to have this confession to come before God, to ask for a renewed spirit and a clean heart. And then, and I think that's really my application for today. There are other things, you know, to see here in terms of those who do not follow God or those who mean harm to us. But I think for me, just confessing my sins and thinking of the verse 17 in Psalm 51, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Better than any sacrifice, any praise, any service I can bring to him. In the midst of my sin, he wants a broken heart before him. So that's what I want to give him today. That's what I want to consider throughout this week. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. And before I think I'm any greater than David, I know that you've lifted up David as a man after your own heart. There's no one greater than him. So Father, in my own sin, help me to confess quickly and fully. Renew a right spirit in me. Father, help me to have a broken heart before you, because I know that that's what you will accept, just like you did with David. And Lord, I know I need to do that every single day. So today, help me to humbly live in your presence, to be quick to confess my sin, and to be restored in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.